After burying his beloved wife Sarah, Avram turns his attention to his son, Yitzchak, and assumes the parental responsibility of finding a suitable wife for Yitzchak. In order to accomplish this goal, he turns to his loyal and faithful servant, Eliezer, and gives him clear and stern instructions. And not just instructions, he makes Eliezer take a solemn oath, a shvua, to follow those instructions. And the essence, the crux of that mission, of those instructions, are, as we read in Perek Chav Dalet, Psukim Gimel through Dalet, Asher lo tikach isha livni b'bnos haknani, asher nochi yoshev b'kirbo. Do not look for a wife, do not find Yitzchak a wife from among the daughters of the people of Canaan, the people that we were currently living in at the moment. Rather, he says, ki el artzi, v'el molarati telech, rather go back to the place of my birth, where I grew up, where my family is, as Rashi says, me'or kazdim, and there, lakachta isha livni li Yitzchak. There you will find, hopefully, a suitable wife for my son Yitzchak. And a number of the Mefarshim are quite bothered by this instruction. Why divide, you know, the population groups among either Eretz Canaan or Kazdim? After all, if the issue is that Avram is the father of monotheism, the shliach of Hashem, trying to bring the message of Hashem to the world, we could understand why he wouldn't want to find a daughter of somebody who is Ovid of Avodah Zarah. However, we have no indication that the people in Ur Kazdim were any less idolatrous than the people in Canaan. We know from Avram's origins and all the Midrashim and his life story that, you know, he had to run away from there because they were also equally idolatrous. So if the command had been to be specifically finding a girl with certain character traits, that we could understand. But why seemingly arbitrarily divide the population into those who are unsuitable from Canaan versus those who are suitable from Ur Kazdim? It doesn't seem to make any sense. It seems to be arbitrary and even illogical. Among the Mefarshim who address this issue is the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, in his Sefer, the Drasha Saran, in the fifth Drasha. This Sefer is most well known as one of the critical works of medieval Jewish philosophy, one of the great Baalei Machshava among the Rishonim. However, contained in many of the Drashos are also beautiful parshanut, beautiful explications of various psukim. And the Ran addresses exactly this question as he interprets the psukim that we just read. And the context of the Ran is discussing the axiomatic belief, which he subscribes to, like so many mainstream Rishonim in that view, which is, of course, well known to us, of the absolute inviolability of Bechir Chofshis, the belief that every person is ultimately endowed with free will, and therefore has responsibility for all decisions that he or she makes. However, says the Ran, despite the fact that we believe ultimately that everyone has a choice and everyone has free choice, we can't deny, he says, lo yichpa lichpor b'shum panim shelo yu la'odem hachanos nimshachos achar hamezeg l'tzas midos tovos oros. The people are often contained with inclinations, proclivities, one way or another. Sometimes people are drawn naturally to good midos, other people to more negative midos, unfortunately. And he says, not only do we have to acknowledge that reality, he adds to that that typically, elu tchonos nafshios nimshachos mishtal shalos me'avos lebanim, that these are more often than not the kind of things which are inherited, that are passed down from parent to child, because they are to some extent either psychological or physiological or biological. They are natural and therefore they are passed on. We could add, although it's not clear this is exactly what the Ran means, that it may not just be nature, but it could also be nurture. If a person is raised in a certain environment, then the parents certainly can yield a strong influence, not necessarily genetic or hereditarily, but even just by the values that are imbued in the type of education that a person receives at home. Be that as it may, says the Ran, we have to take a step back and acknowledge, he says, that there are two types of mitzvos, or not observing mitzvos or transgressing averos. There are two types of negative impacts that not following Ratzon Hashem can have. Sometimes, he says, when we don't follow the will of Hashem, either actively or passively, yasu rosh shem beguf uba nefesh yachad. It's terrible because that not only impacts our soul, but it impacts us, as they say, either physically or psychologically as well. However, there are other averos, as bad as they are, but lo yasu rosh shem rak lenefesh bilvad. They only impact our soul, but not anything more physiological or psychological. Says the Ran, given that background, only the types of averos, which are also what he calls physical, guf, are the kind that can be passed on, unfortunately, from parent to child. But an Avera that is just spiritual, so the soul, because it has no physical component, says the Ran, the soul is not the kind of thing that can be passed on from one generation to the next, from parent to child. But if it's the type of Avera, the type of sin, which has become and had an impact physically, psychologically, physiologically, then in fact, yes, it can be passed on from parent to child. What are examples of Averos which are so serious that not only do they impact the soul, but they also impact the mind and body? Says the Ran, he gives a number of examples. Sinna, kinna, achzarius, rechilos, hatred, jealousy, cruelty, slander. Uchadomem says the Ran. All sorts of bad midos or benam lechavero averos. It's dafka, the benam lechavero, and the bad midos, says the Ran, which are not only spiritually problematic, bad for the soul, but also bad for the body, physiologically, psychologically, and therefore those can be passed on. In light of this, he says, now we understand Avraham's command, his instructions, and the shvuah he makes Eliezer take. As bad as it was with the people who came from Or Kasdim, says the Ran, en hachanami, Lavan was of the Avodah Zarah, Basul over the Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, lo yitchayev shi hateva tzatzaav nimshach acharav klal. But Avodah Zarah, as bad as it is a spiritual defect, and therefore not necessarily going to be passed on in any hereditary or genetic way to the children. However, he says, when it comes to the people of Canaan, that was much, much worse, because the people of Canaan had terrible midos, tchunos nafshios, dangerous, terrible, deleterious, bad midos, and that's the kind of thing that could be passed on. And therefore, says Avraham, that's what I'm worried about. That cannot ever come into our family. That's incompatible with my legacy and the type of person that Yitzchak is and needs to be. And therefore, we want to find a girl with the right emuna, but we have to start avoiding all those bad midos. And that's what was in Canaan, and that would be likely passed on. So we learn a valuable lesson about parenting and marriage from this decision of Avraham.